Everyone, I hope you are having a good day today. If you would like to follow along in the reading tonight, you might want to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. That is where we will be spending most of our time this evening. Every book in the Bible has something that it uniquely brings out, its main point or theme. In Hebrews, it says it directly in chapter 8 and verse 1, where it says the main point is this, that we have such a high priest. Jesus is our high priest. In Colossians, as we read through the book, we find that it is Christ is the fullness of God. And tonight we're going to look at Ephesians and find that the main point of Ephesians is that the church is the fullness of Christ. To show this, let's start out by reading the last two verses of chapter 1. And he put all things under his feet and gave to him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Let's think of it like a tire. There's a tire, and there's air inside the tire. That air fills up the tire. Jesus is like the tire, and his saved people, the church, are like the air inside the tire. Just as the air is the fullness of the tire, we are the fullness of Christ. Let's read the first two verses. Paul, an apostle of Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Paul's typical greeting that he writes when he is writing a letter or a book. Now the next few verses we're going to be reading verses 3 through 14 and then going back through it and looking at some key points. Beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he has made abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. In those few verses that we just read, there is an obvious and big emphasis on the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. As a matter of fact, the two words in Christ are mentioned 12 times alone in the first 14 verses. In verse 3, it says everything that we have has been given to us by Christ. Any spiritual blessing, any physical blessing that we have, we can attribute that to God because he has given it to us in Christ. In verse 4, he has chosen us to do his good works, to be holy and without blame before him in love. If we do his good works that he has chosen us to do, we will receive the blessings in Christ that it talks about in verse 3. In verse 5, it tells us that not only did he choose us, but he predestined us before the foundation of the world, like it says in verse 4. He chose us to do his good works before he did anything else. Before anything had ever begun, he chose us, and he knew what he wanted us to do. And how are we supposed to do his good works? Well, the second part of verse 5 is talking about because of his good will. And by his good will, that means it's by his rules that we are to do his good works. The next three verses, verses 6, 7, and 8, are talking about his grace, and through his grace, how we have redemption and how we have forgiveness of sins. And not only do we have his grace, but we have an abundance of his grace. He has made it abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. So through his grace and mercy, we have an opportunity to be forgiven of our sins, and we have an opportunity to be redeemed. Now in verse 9, the first line of verse 9 says, having made known to us the mystery of his will. What is the mystery of his will? Well, in the Old Testament, the mystery of his will was what Jesus was going to do. They knew he was going to come. They knew bits and pieces of what he was going to do, but they did not know everything. We know everything. We have it all in front of us. We have our Bibles. We have it in our phones with us daily. We have no excuses. We can't say we don't know. If we do not understand something, that's not an excuse either. because we have elders at the church who are willing to sit down and read with you and study with you and explain it to you. You have deacons who are also willing to do that. And anyone at the church, you can ask to sit and read the Bible with you and help you understand something. We have no excuses to say we don't know. We have no excuses to say we can't do it. It's all in front of us, and we have ways to do it. He has written it down for us. In verse 10, it says that he will gather together all things that are in heaven and on earth in him. He will gather together the dead and gather together those who are living in one body in him, in Christ. All of his saved people, the church, the fullness of him, will be gathered together in him. Let's hold off at looking at verse 11 and go ahead and look at 12 and 13. In verse 12, Paul says we. And when he says we, that means he's speaking of the Jews because Paul is a Jew. And in verse 13, he says you, which means the Gentile, all the rest of the people in the world. Why would he be mentioning those two peoples? Because we are to be united in the church. How can a body work together if the members of that body are fighting against one another? A house divided against itself shall not stand. And now let's go back and look at verse 11 and 14. In verse 11, the first line is, we have obtained an inheritance. And in verse 14, the first line is the guarantee of our inheritance. What is our inheritance? Our inheritance is heaven, but not only heaven. It is to be in heaven with Jesus for eternity. That is the inheritance. A common question when you read through this with someone is, how do you obtain these spiritual and physical blessings? How do you get to heaven and obtain the inheritance? Well, there's an answer for that. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and we will read verses 3 and 4. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into his death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. That is the answer. That is how we obtain the inheritance, how we receive those spiritual gifts, if we do what that verse has just said. Turn with me back to Ephesians chapter 1, and let's read verses 15 through 23. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he was raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The first three verses of that section, 15, 16, and 17, are Paul's prayer for the brethren, what he prays for when he prays about his brethren. The first thing he says about it in verse 16 is that he prays that he is thankful for his brethren, thankful for the fellow members of the church. If we love and respect one another, we'll be thankful for one another. And we need to praise God that we have one another, be thankful for one another, and pray when we are thankful. And in verse 17, it's saying that he prays for his brethren to have spiritual wisdom. This goes back to what Silas was talking about when he was talking on Psalm chapter 1. He was talking about the decisions we make in our daily lives. If we know our brethren are having to make hard decisions, we need to pray for them that they have the spiritual wisdom to make the good choice. And God has the power to answer those prayers, to give us spiritual wisdom. Like it says in verse 21, not only in this age, but that which is to come, he has power forever, and he will always be able to answer your prayers. Let's conclude our thoughts by reading verses 22 and 23 again. And he put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We are a part of Christ's body. We are the fullness of him. Through his grace, we have been given the opportunity to be a part of his body, to be in heaven with him, to obtain the inheritances, to be with him forever. He died for us that we might be there with him. The least we can do is to be holy and without blame before Him in love. Let's keep these things in mind as together we sing.